Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have time at home like you've never had it before. I want to encourage you, take advantage of this time. Don't squander it. Don't just let it pass you by. But take advantage of it with your family. Do some things with your family at home. And there's a lot of ideas online in that. Do things with your family that will enrich your family and grow you closer together in the Lord. Also, it's a great time to take time with the Lord. It will never be this slow in your life again. So take advantage of this time. I came across this on the internet. It said this. It said, can you put that up? 3 hours into homeschooling and one is suspended for skipping class and the other one has already been expelled. You can see that it's very difficult to do homeschooling. We're very thankful for our teachers. I saw one that said we do need to pay them more because they're definitely worth it. I saw another one that said this. It said people in 2020. Now, this is about perspective, right? This is the worst year in the history of our lives. But if you take a dog's perspective in 2020, they say, what a time to be alive. Every single one of my humans is home. All day, every day, taking me on walks, lounging around on the couch about times humans came to their senses and adopted our way of life. It's all a matter of perspective. So use your time well. This last one, you know, knowing that my wife's a cosmetologist and we can't open up our shop, it's closed, but the vets can open up their shop. And I just saw this one here that I thought was very interesting. It said, when your hair salon is closed, but your dog groomer has a cancellation. So Roxana is able to do these things for you if you need her to, if you get into a jam. Speaking of that, they said that dog adoptions or animal pet adoptions are up like 70% during this particular time. And as I was, as we were contemplating this, we actually ourselves got a new dog at our home. Our dog's name is Josie, and it means may Jehovah add addition to the family. God is gracious. So our dog Malibu has cancer, we found out, and she only has a short time to live. And so we thought it would be great to get Josie and have them kind of partner together. And it's somewhat of a sad time for us, but my wife is happy that the new dog is it's touching her heart in a very wonderful way. She knows what it is, but I call it a mutt, but there's some sort of breeds in there, but there are a lot of them, so it goes to mutt to me. But anyway, don't say that to my wife, because she loves Malibu and she loves Josie. And here they were getting along together. Let me show you a little video here. Here they are out. Already, Josie's telling Malibu, who's boss, they're taking her for a walk. I think our dog Malibu's amazing. She's probably the best dog we've ever had. She's absolutely amazing, a wonderful dog, and we will definitely miss her. My wife will for sure. A couple of weeks ago, I talked to us about we're here for such a time as this. This is the church's finest hour. We're supposed to shine during this particular time. I said that our world is in turmoil. We're worried, we're afraid, we're fearful, and that there's three things that we want to know, that people want to know right now. They want to have hope because, you see, crisis exposes the hopelessness of a world without God. And if you don't have God, you don't have hope right now. If you don't have God, the only hope you have is the virus is going to get over. But then, you know what? We're going to be aimless again. The only hope that we really have is that Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne before and after the virus, and we're all going to go to heaven someday, and it's going to be absolutely wonderful, but He's our hope now and for tomorrow and for all eternity. Also, that Jesus gives us the answers and that there's peace that's found in Christ, a peace that passes all understanding. I think it's interesting that now, never before, has the whole world been on the same page at the same time? We are all on the same page at the same time. You say coronavirus, everybody knows what you're talking across the world. You know, at times we've had something happening over here, something happening over there, but it doesn't affect everybody. Even in World War I, there were 8 countries that were neutral. World War II, there were 14 countries that were neutral. With the COVID-19 virus, there are no countries that are neutral. Every country, even though they may have not have expressed it or seen a victim yet, or a person who's gotten the disease, it's out there and it's on everybody's mind, it's on everybody's tongue, and people are worried. But Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne. I asked the Lord, "What are you doing? What are you doing right now, Lord?" And I felt He spoke 3 things to me. Number one, He said, "I'm getting your attention, but not just your attention. I'm getting the attention of the whole world. The whole world has God's attention." He said that He's given us a wake-up call. Wake up. Don't be sleeping during this time. Don't be sleeping during this time. We shouldn't be sleeping at all, right? We should always be awake. We should be vigilant. But He's really telling us, Christians especially, wake up. Something's coming down the line. Is God getting us ready for something? And that's my third one that He said, get ready, stay ready, and grow. Kind of a hallmark for us around here. Get ready, stay ready, and grow. I then asked Him, what do you want me to say to the people then? What do you want me to say to everybody? What do you want to say to our church family? My gosh, I miss you guys. What do you want me to say to them? And He said this, tell the people that I love them so much. I love them so much. Tell them, don't be afraid, for I am with you. I am with you. You have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. As a matter of fact, He said it this way, it's going to be an adventure. It's going to be an adventure. And why will it be an adventure? The third point, which I want to hone in this morning, He said, draw near and listen. Draw near and listen. 7 times in the book of Revelation, Jesus says these exact same words. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What is the Spirit saying right now? What is the Spirit saying to you right now? What are you hearing from God in your quiet time? You have more time to be quiet than ever. I pray you're taking advantage of it. You're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. As I was thinking about this, this crisis that we're going through, I thought about another crisis that happened in the Bible. It's back in the Old Testament. It was a crisis of a famine. It was worldwide, so everybody was affected. It was during the time when Joseph was sitting as number 2 in Egypt. He had a plan. He had gathered all the food and he was waiting for this famine to come. And then when it came, he was dishing out the food as it needed to be. And we see him right here at this point of scripture I want to talk about, where he's asking his father. He finds out, he reveals himself to his brothers. He tells them everything's going to be okay. He invites his father, Israel, to come. Jacob, Israel, to come and be with him. And he invites the whole family to come because he wants to take care of them. And I want you to listen to these words. It's in Genesis 45, 9 through 11. He says to a person, hurry and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry. Do not dwell in the land. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen. Let me say it one more time. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There, where are we? We're in Goshen. There in Goshen, I will provide for you. Lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of the famine. That word dwell, you're going to dwell in this land of Goshen. This word dwell is a powerful word. Yeshab, it means to sit down. to remain, to settle down, if you will, to marry. You think about it, when you marry, you kind of, you always hear the term, well, he's settled down now. He's kind of settled down now. He's got into a routine. He's got a wife. He's got a family. He's got a life here. But it's staying right here, settled down, dwelling. And he said, you're going to dwell. You're going to settle down. You're going to stay. You're going to remain in Goshen. Now, the important part is this word Goshen. Goshen. Goshen is located on the delta of the Nile, Lower Egypt. We have a map there showing you where it's located. Goshen is where they stayed. He said that he's going to provide for them in Goshen. You're going to settle down in Goshen. Why was Goshen so important? It's an interesting word. Goshen, from a dictionary of scripture proper names by J.B. Jackson, it means this: drawing near. Goshen, the place where you draw near, where you come close. I might add the word draw near to what? Draw near to God. Goshen was a place where they drew near to God because God was providing for them. God was taking care of them. God was on their side, and God was doing amazing things. Let me say this, in times of difficulty, Goshen, or drawing near to God, is a good place to be. It's a good place to dwell, to settle down, to get close, to live there, not just visit. Boy, if you have to be sequestered anywhere, if you have to be quarantined anywhere, I'm going to be quarantined in Goshen. Close, close, close to God. And church, if God is saying anything right now, he's saying, get close to me. Get close to me. I will provide for you there. The Bible notes some very interesting things about Goshen, about this Goshen. And I want to speed ahead now 400 years. They've been in Egypt for 400 years in the land of Goshen. We're going to speed ahead 400 years where God is telling Moses, I want you to take my people to the promised land. We're taking them out of here. We're going to go into the promised land, the promises that God has for you. The problem is we have a Pharaoh who has all of the Israelites in slavery. And as they're in slavery, he doesn't want to let them go. And he says, no, you're not going. And so God brings 10 plagues. You know them. Let me go through them with you. That first plague was a plague of blood. They turned the Nile into blood. But what happened was Moses had his magicians, through enchantments, through trickery, through sleight of hand, they kind of did the same thing. They made some of the water also turn to blood, but it was through trickery. The second plague, the plague of frogs. Again, frogs all over the place, but the magicians also, with their enchantments, with their trickery, they made frogs happen all over the place too. The third plague. By the way, in all these plagues, God was trying to hit at an idol in the land of Egypt. He was hitting something specific. The third plague was a plague of lice, which no family wants to get right now. But Pharaoh's magicians at this point, they couldn't replicate it. Through all their trickery and sleight of hand, they couldn't replicate it. And the magicians even say this, in Exodus 8:19, then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. This is God doing this. This is something divine. We did trickery and we did sleight of hand, but something supernatural, something divine is taking place, and we better heed what's going on. But it fell on deaf ears. The fourth plague comes. It's a plague of flies. It's in Exodus 8:21-24. And God says this, and note this, the houses of Egypt shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen. I will set apart the land of Goshen. That word set apart is Palah, and it means to distinguish, to put a difference, to show marvelous. He's going to put a difference, a distinction between His people that are in Goshen, His people that are drawing near to Him, hanging on every word that comes from the mouth of God, listening. He's going to make a distinction. He says, and I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, reside, stay, live there. They don't just visit Goshen. They don't just visit coming near. They live there. That's their dwelling. They hear the voice of the Lord. They're close to Him. In which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. He's making a distinction. Flies in Egypt, no flies there. In order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land, I will make a difference between my people and your people. That word difference means a distinction. It also means a deliverance, which He was getting ready to do. He delivers His people. He knows what you're going through, and He delivers His people. He said, tomorrow this sign shall be. And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came up into the house of Pharaoh, into the servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies, but there were no flies in Goshen. Goshen was a no-fly zone. They were protected. Nobody coming in. No enemy forces. They were protected there. God was doing something. He was drawing His people close. Goshen, draw near, hearing the voice. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. It's going to be okay. The fifth plague, disease on the cattle. Exodus 9:4. Look what the Lord says again. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. You see, God always makes a difference. God always makes a difference. He's the difference maker right now for us, right in these days. Draw near to Him. He's the difference maker. He's the one, instead of us going crazy with fear, He's the one who makes a difference where we're at peace that surpasses all understanding. Why? Because He makes the difference. Because we're drawing near to Him. And when you're near to Him, He makes a difference. The sixth plague, boils. It's not stated specifically, but it's implied that no boils were in Goshen. The seventh plague was hail, Exodus 9:25-26. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And then the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, drawing near to God, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. The eighth plague, locusts, not stated specifically, but also implied that there was no locusts in Goshen. The ninth plague, darkness, Exodus 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see each other, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. They had a shelter in place order right there. They were practicing social distancing. But cares for you. He cares for you. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. The word light means illumination. The word light there also means happiness. That word means happiness, brightness, illumination. Here in the midst of all the turmoil, of all the darkness of what was happening in the house of God, in the place of Goshen, where the people were drawing near to God, there was a sense of happiness in the midst of all of it. Because they knew in whom they believed. They knew that the worst could happen to us is what? We die and go to heaven? I mean, the worst thing in this life ushers in the best thing that's ever going to happen to you is heaven eternal. The 10th plague. Exodus 12:23. For the Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood of the Passover lamb on the lintel, top piece, and the two door pieces, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer, the waster, to come into your house to strike you. They were in Goshen. They were drawing near to God and they were listening. Now notice this. It wasn't just because they were in Goshen, but now they're in Goshen and they're listening to the instructions of the Lord. And the Lord gave them a very important instruction. I want you to go kill a Passover lamb. I want you to place the blood on both sides of the doorpost and across the lintel. You see, they were drawing near so they could hear the day-to-day instructions that were going to be so critical for them. You see, why is he drawing us near? We need to hear his instructions for us today. What's he doing? What's he saying? But they were listening. They were listening. They were listening and they heard the instructions. We need to be near to hear. We need to be near his voice, his heart, to hear what he has to say to us today. Because what he is speaking today is very important to us, church. It's crucial. It's our marching orders for the day. It's our encouragement. It's the thing that brightens us up as we spend time with the Lord. He gives us an idea of what he wants us to say for the day. Are you drawing near? Are you listening? Is your relationship getting deeper? Drawing near. That's where the provision is. Drawing near. That's where the safety is. Drawing near, that's where the peace is. Drawing near, that's where the Lord is. And all this turmoil and all this uncertainty, getting into your quiet time with the Lord and hearing his voice where you can... Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now, I'm not saying that no Christian is going to get the COVID-19 virus. I'm not saying that. I'm sure that lots of them have. Lots of them have. But what I am saying is this, that as we, as a church, as a people, as a nation, draw near to God, God will move supernaturally on our behalf. Because when you get close to God, he starts moving on your behalf. He loves it when you're close. He loves it when you tuck in tight. He loves it when you draw near. He loves it when you're hanging on every word that he's speaking. He loves it. And he moves supernaturally. He moves supernaturally. Draw near to God. I want to give four quick points as I bring this to a close. I believe that what he's saying to the church in this hour is draw near. I've got four verses that talk about it. Listen. Number one, my first point is draw near to God because it's good for you. Psalm 73:28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. It's good. It's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. The New Living says, but as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. Pastor Sherry, I hope you're watching. I know you would say it like this. But as for me, I get as close to Him as I can. I have chosen Him, and I will tell everyone of the marvelous ways He rescues me. I will get as close to Him as I can. I will get as close to Him as I can. I know, Pastor Sherry, you're getting as close to Him right now as you can. I exhort all the rest of us. Let's get as close, uncomfortably close brings great comfort to God. Get so close. Let Him get in your face. Let Him speak to you. Let Him guide you. Let Him direct you. Draw near. Draw near. In this time of social distancing, God wants spiritual proximity. Spiritual closeness. As close as I can. You know, on this stage, in 2003, we had Shane and Shane here. It was an awesome concert. We had it here in 2003, and he sang what I heard for the very first time, the song, Be Near. Be Near, O God. And he was writing this song, asking God in the song for a taste. God, I want a taste of You. The words say this, but oh to taste. To know much more than a page. To know You much more than just what's written here on this page. We read this and they're great words of encouragement and what He's done, but there was just something that said, I want to know You more than just written words on a page. I want something more than just this knowledge of the... I want something so deep. I want it to come off the page. I want it to come into my life, into my heart. I want You to change me. I want You to be so near that I can feel Your heartbeat, Lord. Oh, I want to hear Your heartbeat. The song goes on to say, to feel Your embrace. Oh, Lord, I need to hear from You. Oh, God, we need to hear from You. It's not that You're not speaking. It's that we haven't come close enough to hear. Lord, draw us. Be near, oh, God, be near. Oh, God, of us, Your nearness is to us our good. As close as You can get in me, Lord. That's what does me good. That's what's good. Oh God. Oh God, come close. Oh God, be near. Secondly, draw near to God with your heart, your everyday way of life. Matthew 5:8-7, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and He says, these people, the Pharisees, they draw near to Me with their mouth. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. God's awesome. But where's your heart? Where's your day-to-day routine? Where's your lifestyle? Are you listening? Are you drawing close? Draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me. In vain they worship me. In vain. That word vain struck out to me. That word vain. Vain. It means manipulation. It means unsuccessful search, folly, to no purpose. You see, God seems to know when we come to Him, trying to manipulate Him through worship. Oh Lord, I just need You, but I need a favor. Now, God is really good, even when we don't always come right. I think what He's saying to us, church, is this. Don't manipulate God. Do you draw near in worship because you want something? Or because you want the living God? You can't live without Him. You can't move without Him. You can't breathe without Him. You can't make decisions without Him. You can't determine how to lead your family right now without Him. Are we drawing near? So close. Oh, He's bidding us to come. 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 Let me skip to the last one. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. It's a promise. James 4:8. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. The thing about God is, He wants you to get as close to Him as you possibly can. But God's a gentleman. He's not going to force His way in. He's just looking for an invitation. He's looking for an action on your part that says, come closer, Lord. Today, come closer. Lord, help me to change my routines to include You more. Lord, help me to change my daily life to where I'm thinking constantly about You and what You're doing. And I'm drawing near. I'm coming under the shelter, under the wing of the Almighty. And I'm just listening to You. I'm hearing Your heartbeat. I'm listening to Your voice. I need it to guide my family. I need it to know what next step to take. I need You, God. I want You. I want You. I want You, Lord. Let's pray. Oh God, we need You now as a nation, as a world, more than ever. Forgive us for our lackadaisical attitude where we took so many things for granted. Help us, Lord, to know that our relationship with You is the most important thing that we can have. That in that relationship, there's safety, there's security, there's hope, there's peace. And that the closer we get, Lord, oh, man, Lord, the more we feel Your presence. We want to feel it, Lord. We want You to speak directly into our ear. We want to hear You like never before. We don't want to just hear You for a season, Lord. We want to make a change that becomes a lifestyle. That our life becomes one that longs for the words that proceed out of the mouth of God, because Jesus said that's what we're supposed to live by. Every word that proceeds from Your mouth. Speak to us today, Lord. Help us. Help us, you so much. We need you so much. You forgive us from so much. Thank you, Lord. And it's in that precious and wonderful name we pray. Amen. Let me encourage you that this is a great time to give your life to the Lord. You may not be coming up to the altar right now, but you can right from your own home. It's a great time, if you don't know the Lord, to renew your, to ask Him into your life. You simply confess you're a sinner, ask Him to forgive you of your sins, ask Him to come into your life and to change it. And then commit to live for Him all your days. If this is a time when you are already a Christian, this is a time where you need to come close to Him. Get right in His rear pocket. Get right into His heart. Hear His heartbeat. Tell Him you won't take no for an answer. He longs to speak to you, to come to you, to touch you. At the end of this whole service today, you may have to refresh your page. There's going to be an icon on the app and on the website to that song from Shane and Shane. And I'd ask you, after we get done and we're all done with everything that's going to happen here as we close, that you just take time with your family. Put it on. Listen to the words. And let it become your heart cry. To come near to God. Come near. Come near. And know this, that we love you guys so much. It's just killing me not to be able to see you personally. But I'm following you online, and our church is going to be online, so let's encourage one another with social media and all of that. But know this, that Carrie and I love you so very, very much. And we consider it the greatest privilege to be your pastors. During this time, until we meet again next week, draw close and let them know